Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
We're going to continue in our series that we've been going over the last several weeks. We've been looking at this study out of the book of Psalms, and tonight we're going to be starting a new psalm in Psalms 124. So if you have your Bibles, open them up there. We're going to be looking at Psalms 124. And we wrapped up Psalms 91 last week, and I pray that it was a blessing, and I pray that these messages are encouraging to you. I always find encouragement from His Word, and I just find, you know, those reminders and promises that I need to hear on a daily basis. Amen. I'm just like you, where we constantly need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God, of the truth of His Word, amen? And so in Psalms 124, I want us to begin to read. We're going to be reading the verses 1 through 8. And so if you've got it, say amen, and we're going to get going here. So let's begin. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, he says, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, he said, then they would have swallowed us alive. It says, when their wrath was kindled against us, it says, and then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. It says, then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Verse 6 says, blessed be the Lord. It says, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. He says, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. It says, the snare is broken, and we have escaped. He said, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Amen. Let's pray for the word of God tonight. Lord, we thank you. And we thank you, God, that your word is alive. It's active, Father God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you're speaking even now. And Holy Spirit, we just give you this pulpit tonight, that you may speak, Lord, through me as a vessel, Father God. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your word would just do the work, God, tonight, Lord. It would, Father, challenge us, Lord. It would minister to us, God. It would encourage us, God. It would help us, God, to know more about your heart and your character, Father. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen, amen. So this message that we're reading here in this chapter is a song of ascents. And so we see David, he is leading Israel in giving thanks to the Lord for past help. He's coming out and he's reminding them of what God has done for them. And so he's telling them, he's saying, listen, we need to thank God for the things that he has done in the past. And he's also expressing a confidence in the help of God in their continued future. And so David, you know, he comes out and he begins to remind the Israelites, and it's believed by a lot of different commentators that this psalm is connected with the exiles returning from Babylon. That means that there was this time in Scripture, this time in that season, where, listen, you know, how many of you have been set free by Jesus? Raise your hand if you've been set free. Yeah, come on. Like, when you're set free by the Lord, like, it causes a new song to stir up out of your life. Amen? Like we could go on and talk about how awesome God is because of what he has done for us. And this is David. He's reminding God's people. He's saying, listen, like, God has set us free. And the Lord has done an amazing thing in our life. And we need to be reminded of that truth every single time we wake up. But I want to read to you an illustration as we get into this message. And hopefully this is going to kind of help set the stage a little bit for where I want to go with this topic tonight. In the year 1582 was like a couple years ago. I think it's when I was born. Some of y'all, it's funny. I was talking to some people. They're like, Pastor, when were you born? I said, 1982. You were born in the 1900s. I'm like, really? Like, I am 43 for crying out loud. I am not that old. 1582. Okay, that's a long time ago. 1582, this psalm was sung on this remarkable occasion in Edinburgh, Scotland. There was an imprisoned minister, and his name was John Dury, and he had been set free And listen to this. And he was met and he was welcomed on entering the town by 200 of his friends. Now, in case you missed it, I'm going to just go back and I'm going to read this once again. He is a captured minister. See, back in these days, you could get in prison for preaching the gospel. So he had been in prison for preaching the gospel. He had been taken behind bars. He had been, you know, locked up. And all of a sudden, he gets set free. And now when he was free, guess who he was met by? He was met and welcomed into that town by 200 of his friends. That's a lot of people. That was a lot of rejoicing. That was a lot of celebration for this guy who was behind bars and all of a sudden had been set free. And I want to pause there for a second. And I want to remind the church that whenever somebody is set free, we need to show up and we need to love them and we need to rejoice with them and we need to welcome them back into freedom. Amen. There's times where I've seen people get saved and like the people around them are like, and I'm like, really? Really? You get more happy for like free coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. You get more excited for your team that's running down a field that the guy don't even know who you are, carrying some leather ball or what have you. This guy set free out of prison for preaching the gospel, and it says 200 of his friends showed up. A whole city shows up, and they're there, and they're rejoicing at the fact that he's been set free. Now, get this. The number increased until he found himself in the middle of the company of 2,000. I'm taking us somewhere with this tonight. All of a sudden, this guy is set free. 200 of his friends hear about it. They said, guess what? John's out. Let's go rejoice with John. Let's go celebrate with John. Let's go, you know, just rejoice in the fact that he's out. He's back on the streets with us. He can preach the gospel. He can lead one more to Jesus. And at this sound of these 200 people, it caused such an uproar that 2,000 showed up. And they're there and they're rejoicing. And it says the number increased till there was 2,000 and they began to sing. And they moved up to the long high street and they began to sing. Now Israel may say, they were singing Psalms 124. Now Israel may say, and they sang in these four parts of harmony with just unity. And they were joining together in this psalm and they were so much moved. And people were so much moved at the sight of the rejoicing of one being set free that all who heard, people around them, chief persecutors and prosecutors in that town, they were more alarmed at that sight than anything that they had ever seen in the nation of Scotland. I want to propose to you that there should be a sound that is rising up when people get set free from God's people that causes such an uproar in the city that people will take notice. Amen. There should be a sound that rises up from within the church or on the streets or in the highways or the byways that when somebody is set free, it's like all of a sudden the city takes notice. I believe, church, that we're living in a time and a season when we need to shout Jesus from the rooftops. Amen? I think we've always needed to shout Jesus from the rooftops, but guess what? Like, we need to shout it from the rooftops. Because, church, the day and the hour of the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. He's going to return. He's going to show up. We don't have time to play patty cake church anymore, amen? We don't have time to be these kind of satisfied, you know, just being inside of the four walls of a church kind of people. We need to be the kind of people that's loud and bold for the cause of Christ. A life that is set free knows who its rescuer is, amen? A life that is set free knows who its rescuer is. And those who've been saved, we must rejoice with the recently rescued. We must rejoice with them. I love it when I see young people get saved because I believe it just reminds me and it kind of brings a refreshing to our heart and to our soul when we see somebody being just transformed and being born again into the family of God. It is a beautiful sight. Amen. I really believe, though, that we have to, as believers, change our perspective of how we view it. Because I'm reminded of what the scripture tells me, that I was just like a stick that was snatched out of the fire too. You and me were just like people that were right there. The devil almost had us. The devil was so close to be able to take you out before it was your time. But listen, because Jesus loved you, and because Jesus came down from his heavenly throne and he gave his life for you and I, guess what? We are those who have been rescued and redeemed by Jesus. Can somebody thank him tonight? But listen, I want us to look at this psalm, and I want us to just kind of look at the first two verses, and let's reread this a little bit. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord, think of that almost as a question. Think of that almost as like a thought-provoking statement. If it had not been the Lord, if it had been somebody else, where would they be? They certainly wouldn't have been rescued. If it had been anyone else, they certainly wouldn't have been redeemed. He goes, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and he goes on to say, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord. You see, sometimes you and I can identify what God is doing, but sometimes we need to tell somebody next to us what God is doing as well. Amen? Sometimes we have to wake them up to actually see what the Lord is doing, because you and I could be so fixated and focused on our own self, on our own issues, on our own, you know, things that we're going through, that guess what? We might be missing out, or somebody else may be missing out on what God is actually doing. And David is pointing them to this. He's saying, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and he goes, now you, the nation that I'm leading, you say it, you acknowledge it, you see it, you put it into right perspective. He wanted them to recognize that their rescuer and their help was God and God alone. It wasn't how well they were armored. It wasn't how, you know, great their army was or wasn't. It wasn't the military strategies that had been enforced to get them out of Babylon. It wasn't any of those things. He's like, the whole reason that we're rescued is because the Lord was on our side. He's like, newsflash. God was the one that rescued us. It wasn't just because that Yahweh was present, but that he was actively working on behalf of his people. That meant that he was on their side. Now, I read this, and I'll read this to you. It says, it's never a matter of uncertainty whether the Lord will be on our side or not. For the Lord Jesus in his resurrection and death has taken his place beside us forevermore. And that is, he is always on our side so long as we keep his paths and we walk in his ways. Amen? But one thing I love about Jesus is this. Is before I ever bowed my knee to him, he gave his life for me. Before I ever confessed him as Lord and Savior, before I ever knew that he existed, or before I ever knew of that precious love that he had for you and for me, Jesus willingly laid down his life. You see, he was on our side before we ever knew it. Amen? He was looking after your life, and he was looking after your soul before you ever saw him coming. I'll never forget the first time that I really, you know, my eyes were open, that the revelation of who Jesus was shared with me, you know, and I understood the gospel. And all I remember was that, you know, and I'm sure you've had this moment with the Lord as well, where you try to wrap your mind around this God, this infinite God, this wonderful, perfect, and holy God wanting to have anything to do with you. I remember I felt so small. I said, no way. Why would you die for me? Jesus, I'm the last one. Like, no way. Like, you should have, it could have been anybody else, not me. And I had such a hard time trying to wrap my mind around that thought. But I want to remind somebody in here tonight that the Lord has always been on our side. The Lord has always desired to walk with you. When asked during the Civil War if God was on their side, Abraham Lincoln responded, and he said this, He says, sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. He said, my greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. Amen? You see, I want us to be so mindful, church, of our coming and our going, of our doing and of our saying and our being, that we're not just, you know, conscious of the fact that, you know what, that God is, God loves us and God, you know, desires to have relationship with us and all those things. But really, we need to know that, hey, Lord, is my life living in such a way, Lord, that is living right with how you want it to live? You see, I don't want you to be on my side. Lord, you're right. I need to be on yours. Amen? I need to be on yours. I need to be positioned in my heart, in my life, to understand your rightness or your righteousness. This is what David wanted for the people of Israel. He wanted them to identify and recognize the rightness of the Lord. And that is, he was pointing them to the fact that trusting anybody else when men would rise up against them would have left them in certain despair. You see, placing your trust in anyone else or anything but God is a path to destruction. If we think that somehow we can, you know, rely on our own intelligence, on our own, you know, skills, on our own talents or gifts, my friends, we will fall short every single time. I love that Proverbs 3, you know, 5 and 6, you know, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? And what does he say? He says, and lean not on your own understanding. See, if this was my understanding and I was leaning on it, guess what? It would not support me. But if it's God, it would always support me. If it is the Lord, he is that strong tower. He is steadfast. He is built. He is a perfect foundation, a firm foundation of which we can build our life upon. Amen? But if we think in any kind of way that, you know what, we could, you know, trust in our armory, we could trust in our ability to fight our own battles, my friends, we will lose every single time. And I want us to think about our present life and just say this, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. How many of you are saved? Just raise your hand just so I can acknowledge it. Praise the Lord. Can you remember before you were saved? I want you to go back there just for a minute, just for a moment. Go back to that life that you lived before you knew Jesus. It was empty. It was hopeless. It was destructive. It was all these different things that were literally just, you know, deceiving your life. There was so many things that were happening in your life that were, like I said, it was leading nowhere. And then comes that revelation where you know who Jesus is and you've received that free gift of salvation. You've acknowledged what it is that he has done for your life. Now look at where your life is headed. Look at the present circumstance of your life and look how much Jesus has done. He's done so much. He has done so much in really so little of time. But only Jesus can do that for us, amen? Only Jesus can do that. And we ask ourselves that question, if the Lord had not been on our side, where would we be? I know I could certainly testify if God had not been on my side, there is absolutely zero doubt in my mind that I would be standing behind this pulpit because there's definitely I wouldn't be. I know that for my life, for those of you that maybe know a little bit about my life or my testimony, I was very, very sick. You know, when I was growing up, I was constantly in the hospital. I was in the hospital basically monthly and, you know, getting connected to nebulizers and getting blood gases and all this kind of stuff because I couldn't breathe. And it was this habitual cycle where it was almost like, you know, from an early age of about 4.5, 5 years old, it was like the enemy was just trying to take out my life. And I remember, like, just it was a daily struggle. Like some of y'all, maybe you weren't there and it's hard to understand, but, you know, for a parent, you know, I'm a parent now and having to take my child to the hospital every 2 to 3 weeks monthly and the expenses that would rack up and the bills and the heartache and the, you know, all the stuff. And I'd miss school and have to make up my work. And it was just all this kind of stuff that I was dealing with. I know that I would not be here had it not been for the Lord. Sickness and disease would have taken me out and destroyed me a long time ago. I know I could testify about this as well and say that even there was a period and a point in my life where suicidal thoughts were trying to destroy my life. Nothing but this whisper from the demonic to try and end my own life because of pain and certain things that I had experienced in my life up until that point. And the enemy wanted me dead, but I'm so grateful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for his mercy and his grace and his love towards me. And I just have to say it again. If it had not been for the Lord being on my side, I would not be standing in the blessings and in the life and in the joy that he has given to me today. We serve a great God, amen? But this repetition, yeah, come on, give him praise. This repetition that is mentioned in the first two verses, it's not in vain. What do I mean by that? It was once said, while we were in danger, our fear is without measure. But when it is once past, we imagine it to have been less than it was indeed. And this is the delusion of Satan to diminish and to obscure the grace of God in our life. So that part where he goes to the point where he says, now let Israel say, or let Israel now say, David wanted it. And he knew it was necessary that every one of God's covenant people recognize that. He wanted them to identify this and understand it wasn't enough for just a few of them to do it. It wasn't enough for just a few of them to acknowledge that God had been on their side. It was the duty of all of Israel to know and say that God was absolutely their essential help. We have a little bit of you know, things like that, I believe, that go on in our nation when people say, well, this doesn't have to be a Christian nation. Or this doesn't have to be in one nation under God. We can have a lot of gods, or we can have a lot of so-called idols, or we can have a lot of this or a lot of that. I'm here to tell you that this nation belongs to Jesus. Amen? You see, and regardless of the pushback, or regardless of maybe the persecution or people saying otherwise, this whole world belongs to Jesus. Amen? We don't have to be like, you know what, oh, I'm just going to be like, hey, you know what, well, because you live in this city or you go to this church, you know, everybody else can just do whatever they want. No, the Lord loves them. The Lord wants to rescue them. The Lord wants to bring them out of the darkness and into his marvelous life. But the same way that David was wanting the Israelites to understand that the Lord was absolutely their help and their essential help, I want us to ask ourselves this question just for a second and think about this thought. How many times do we see people that are passive about the activity of God in their life? Think about that. How many times are we passive about the activity of God in our life? God woke you up today. And he breathed life into your being. I saw this interesting video, kind of just stumbled upon it yesterday, and it was like a MRI kind of x-ray image, and it was showing what lifting your hands in worship does to your actual physical being. And it was showing how, like, when you lift your hands, like, there was just so much more, like, blood flow, and there was life that was flowing through your body. And I thought that was interesting, because God is breathing life into your soul and into your body on a constant basis, but yet some of us don't even thank him for our food. Some of us don't, you know, can't mutter, put a sentence together to when we wake up to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we're so passive, and we're so just, oh, he's always been there. Oh, God's just, you know, he's doing it. You know, sometimes it takes not having something to realize how much of a blessing it was. Amen? Right? Like, sometimes it takes suffering some form of loss to realize, like, how good we've actually had it. Right? Like, there's actually coming a day, church, where after the Christ is raptured, there's going to be no Holy Spirit in the earth. None. Do you know how scary of a day that will be? if things are the way they are currently, and we see a lot of activity of the Lord all over our world and in our cities and our nation, just imagine when God is not present. How chaotic, how demonic, how lawless it will become. We need to be grateful for what the Lord is doing in our life. In fact, we need to actually pay a little more attention and not be so passive of the activity of God in our life. Like I said, when we look at our nation and how we've allowed foreign gods or idols to be worshiped on this soil, it's all in the name of inclusion or rights. David actually put his foot down. And David, as the leader of that nation, was demanding that his nation be represented and know that God was their help. I'm wondering how many of us have thought that, oh, well, it's only this person's job to say that, or it's only the pastor's job to say this, when in the times of David, if you were a man of God, you needed to speak up for your nation. You needed to shout it from the rooftops. You needed to tell the generations and the generations who God was and what God was all about. And in this case, David wanted God's glory to be recognized. David did not want anyone to diminish God's glory because David knew that it was God that had rescued them. And he told his nation to confess and to profess and to acknowledge that God had been on their side. And when he mentions that part, when men rose up against us, there were a lot of times in David's reign, in David's, you know, just leadership over the nation of Israel where this was true. But there was one particular time that I believe he is most likely referring to, and that's when the Philistines had threatened to overwhelm Israel at the beginning of David's reign. And we'll get there in just a second. If you have your Bibles, it's in 2 Samuel 5. But when there was men that were opposing the people of God, the Lord stepped in to help. Say it again. When there was men that were opposing the people of God, the Lord stepped in to help. So 2 Samuel 5 and verse 17 says this: when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. They went up in full force to search for him. Did you know, church, that the enemy only attacks the anointed? Amen. But he keeps in deception those who pose no threat. Amen. So it goes on to say, it says, they went up in full force to search for him, but David heard about it, and he went down to the stronghold. And now the Philistines, they had come and they had spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines?" He says, "Will you deliver them into my hands?" And the Lord answered him. He said, "Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands." So we see that early on in David's tenure as a leader of Israel, as king, he had to face some huge battles, but I want us to notice something quickly tonight, how he approached the battle line. The first thing, if you're taking notes, is this. Write this down. He inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. Can I tell you that anytime the enemy is opposing your life in any kind of way, you need to inquire of the Lord. Amen? That means you need to take that very threat and you need to take that very thing that is coming against you, and you need to begin to bring it to the Lord first and foremost. Psalms 56 and verse 9 says this. He says, "Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help." He says, "And by this I will know that God is for me." Can I tell you, church, that when we engage with the Lord in prayer, it puts the devil on notice? Oh man, I wish somebody was awake tonight. I said, when you engage with the Lord in prayer, it will put the enemy on notice. And this is really important for us to know, that the enemy will run and hide, not because God's people sing all the songs. Can I tell you that there are more worship services than prayer services in this season that we are living in? And there's something very wrong with that. Amen. Let me teach you something tonight. The reason there's something very wrong with that is because prayer should precede everything that we do. We should have more prayer nights than we do worship nights. Now, I'm not saying that God is not worthy of his glory and that God is not worthy of all honor. But listen, if you want to win a battle, you don't go into a battle singing a song. You go into a battle inquiring of the Lord. Amen. Can we reintroduce prayer back into the church? Amen. We need more prayer warriors than we do songbirds. I love singing, don't get me wrong. I've been on the worship team for like 20 million years or however long it's been. I love serving Jesus that way, but listen, we got to pray. Amen. We need to pray, church. We need to inquire of the Lord. See, the enemy will run and hide, like I said, not because God's people sing all the song or attend all the services. The enemy flees at the mention of his name. At the mention of the name of Jesus, the enemy will turn away. And when we ask the Lord of Lords to step into the scene, the enemy has to run and hide. You see, God will move into your situation, church, and he'll remind us every single time that he is for us. You see, David is conversing with the Lord. Now, I love David's approach. David's like, what does he say? He's like, shall I go and attack? I love that. David's not waiting for anybody. David's like, hold on a second. They're coming against your people, God. Should I go and attack? Just give me permission, man. Just let me at them, Lord. Shall I go attack or will you deliver them into my hands? Notice how he's like really confident. He's not like, oh God, if it's your will, hopefully you might grant us favor and victory because you love us. No, no, no. David's like, I can imagine this young man of God, and he's just fired up, and he's like, Lord, you want me to take care of him, or are you just going to deliver him into my hands? There's no other options here. Ain't no other plan. I love that. I'm glad David is asking God, because a lot of times we want to take matters into our own hands. Amen. Notice David didn't not inquire of the Lord and just be like, attack. No. He inquired of the Lord. And I want us to understand the context here. The Philistines had just finished off Saul's kingdom. And they thought surely David's reign would be the same. They thought that they could get this guy into pride. They thought that they could capture the Ark of the Covenant. They thought that they could beat down God's people again and again and again. But David, listen to me carefully. David being a servant of the Lord. David being a servant of Jesus didn't even trust himself to go out and win the war before he inquired of the Lord. Do you know that David was a warrior? Amen? I love the story of David and Goliath. And one of the things that I love is when the Philistines and Goliath had been literally just chastising God's people, and David catches wind of it and he hears it. And he's like, looking around at the other 100,000 soldiers standing next to him. He's like, y'all hear what this guy is saying? And I love how there's a part in that story where David recalls his resume, if you will. He says, yeah, I've defeated the paw of the lion. I've defeated the paw of the bear. And he's like, and you, sir, you Philistine, you're going to be just like one of them. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to put up with you defying my God. And oh, how I pray, church, that there would be some people in this season that we are living in that would say, I am not going to put up with you defying my God any longer. I will take a stand for the Lord. I hate the phrase politically correct, because there's nothing politically correct about what he is doing. He is not subject to a government. He's subject to God. He's saying, God is my authority. God is the one who gives me permission here. And so David, they're thinking in this moment that David's going to go out and just do this. But guess what? David inquires of the Lord. Can I tell you the difference between confidence and God's strength versus relying on the strength of our own self. Here's the difference. One is surrender in self, and the other is self-unsubmissive. In other words, one is a surrender that we have laid down our life. We say, Lord, I cannot do it on my own. I need you, Jesus. And the other is being unsubmissive in your own flesh, not wanting to bow down to the Lord and wanting to do things your own way. You see, David's victory came through the surrender of himself so that the strength of God could deliver him, right? So he surrenders self, and guess what? The strength of God delivers him. But Saul's defeat came from the unsubmissiveness of himself, and so the stronghold overtook him. Surrender to the Lord always comes with his solution. I'll say it one more time. Surrender to the Lord always comes with his solution. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? And guess what? The Lord answered him. What did he say? He says, go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. You see, surrender, church, is the key that unlocks God's solutions for our situations. Amen? But can I also say that whenever the enemy is coming to attack, we don't need God's permission to fight back. We only need his authority and his answer if we should finish off the enemy or allow him to do it. That's it. God has given you authority. Amen? I think we forget that sometimes. Authority is like a law enforcement officer that has a badge. That's the symbol of authority. That's how you know that they're legit, right? And they don't got a badge, well then, you know, they're impersonating an officer. That's a federal crime, I think. Can't do that. And guess what? You can't impersonate being in the army of God either. Amen? Remember what the sons of Sceva, remember the lesson they learned? They're like, oh yeah, we're going to go out and just, you know, cast out demons in Jesus' name to make a couple extra bucks. What happened? The Bible says that the demons jumped on them. Said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you? You can't impersonate your way into the kingdom of God. You have to know the King of Kings and know the Lord of Lords. And when you know him, church, he will give you his authority. Amen. That's the way it works. Christ is our victory. Can somebody say amen? He's defeated Satan once and for all. And guess what? We are just as blessed as his children to go into the battles that we face on a daily basis. But God will see us through because the Lord is on our side. As I ask you to stand to your feet, we'll read this one last verse. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 4 says this. It says, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. I'll read it one more time. The Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. I want everyone to bow their heads before the Lord tonight. And I want to just remind you tonight that he has secured the win in your war. Jesus has secured the win in your war. Whatever that war looks like for your life, whether there's some kind of personal attack, some kind of spiritual attack that the enemy is launching against your life or has been just, you know, you've been facing, you've been struggling with on a daily basis, he has secured the win in your war. And guess what? When we see the victory of God come about in our life and the Lord sets us free and God delivers us, then guess what? We get to stand in that winner's circle with the Lord. And I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. It's a scary thought to think of anyone else trying to do what God sent Jesus to do for us. But we can be ever thankful today that Jesus has paid it all, and once and for all, it is finished. Amen?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.